The Lord gave me this thought during Monarch. And with it came the heaviest burden that I've ever had in my life. And it was something very much outside of what God has ever given me before. And I hope I can get the burden out tonight that the Lord gave me. Because it's a very solemn thought. We all have dreams. We all have ambitions. We all have only one life. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with dreams and ambitions. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do things. Because I'm going to make a confession to you right now. You know where I was supposed to be tonight? Vermont. I've had a dream of hitting 50 states before I turned 50, and Vermont was the last one on my list. And my husband travels a lot for his job, and he was told he was going to be in Vermont right now. And so I was like, well, the Lord opened that door. I'm going to Vermont. Hallelujah. And then the Lord closed that door, along with about three others. And then there were some doors that had to be opened because I was like, God, I give my place to stay away and everything. And the Lord just kept opening the doors. So I want to be faithful. I feel like He brought me here for a reason. And I'm trembling and I want to do what the Lord would have me to do. I think you've heard that saying, only when life will soon be past, can we finish it? Only what's done for Christ will last. I just want to share a little bit more of a backstory. Last Sunday, my husband was home, and we decided to go out to eat. And we were sitting in the waiting area, which the music there is so loud. And I just asked the Lord to give him a fleece. If you want me to go to Myrtle, you're going to have to work it out. And then all of a sudden, this worldly song comes over, and it is blaring. I had to look it up, but I want to read these words to you. I want to do it all. I want to do it all. Visit Paris in the fall. Watch the Yankees play baseball. I want to take it on in. Take it all in. Catch a few beads down at Mardi Gras. I want to try to rob Peter without paying Paul. I want to do it all. You know, sometimes that's what the devil really works with young people with. Is there anything wrong with maybe visiting Paris? Now, some of the other things that were mentioned, maybe you could say definitely wouldn't do those. But we have this mentality of, I'll just back up. In 1999, or around about 2000, was about when internet really came out. And that's about the time, I mean, that's only about 25 years ago, guys. That's when the world opened up. And you know that you can sit at home and you can get a college degree from the University of Phoenix, right? You know, when I was a teenager, that was not a possibility. I couldn't have done that. It was not in my realm of things that I could do. Do you know flying in a plane, going to Paris, would have been really out of the ordinary 20 years ago, 25 years ago? You know, because you get over there. I mean, there are YouTubes. There's all kinds of things at our fingertips where we can research. We can book us a hotel over there. We can see the pictures of what it looks out. We can walk the streets and see if it's a safe place. You see what I'm saying? And we're in an age where the world is my oyster. That's what the young people think. I want to do it all. And I'm not saying that they're saying I want to do it all in a wrong way. But there's just so many things that we can do. So many options. So many things that vie for our attention. And sometimes the Lord is the very last one on that list of things to do. And you say, well, is there anything wrong with wanting to travel? I just said, hey, I got one more state. I'm enjoying traveling. I enjoy going to the national parks. I enjoy seeing these things. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have only one life will soon be passed. Make sure when we're doing these things in our life that we're including God in there. We don't want to say, I want to do it all, and all is not including God. Because the only way a happy life is going to happen is if you live that life for Christ. I want to read a bunch in Ecclesiastes. I usually don't do this much reading, but I feel like the Word of God can get a point across where nobody else can. I want to talk about Solomon. I did some really in-depth studying on Solomon. And you know, the stuff that I read about Solomon, it blew my mind. Just to be honest with you. And I want to read, we'll start at Ecclesiastes 2. I'm going to start in 4. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted my vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water wherewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. So I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasures of kings of the province. I got me men singers and women singers and delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and all of sorts. So I was great and increase more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remaineth within me. And whatsoever my eye desired, I kept it not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, and my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hand hath wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Vanity. It's a Hebrew word that says it's hevel. That means it is a vapor, a breath, mist, fleeting. I'd like to go to 1 Kings 4. Actually, let's go to 1 Kings 9 first. And King Solomon made a navy of ships. Did you know that King Solomon had a navy? Do you know that that navy went and got all kinds of things? Peacocks, apes. Just do some reading about it. He had more gold than anybody who ever lived. I did a little quick research because this is just how my mind works. In today's standard, Solomon was worth $2.7 trillion. Wrap your mind around that for a moment. The reason why I want to point out the wealth and all the things that he had was because what did he say in the end? All is vanity and vexation. Let me say, I'm pretty safe to say that there is not going to be one person in this audience that will ever come even close a fourth to what Solomon had. I also did a little more research, and maybe the young people will enjoy this. If you combined Elon Musk, which is Tesla, SpaceX, you combined Larry Ellison, okay, Elon Musk, $40 billion. Larry Ellison, $270 billion. Mark Zuckerberg, this is Facebook and Meta platforms, $230 billion. Jeff Bezos, Amazon, $210 billion. Do you know that those four men together, they're worth $1.1 trillion? Those four richest men. Facebook, Tesla, come on, we all know this. I want to bring it down, and I want you young people to know you can do it all, and you can have that in your heart. I want to do it all. Solomon, I find it so interesting. Is there anybody that we can look on this earth right now that had it all like Solomon? I don't think we can. I don't think there's going to be anybody in this world that probably comes along that's going to be worth $2.7 trillion and have the wealth that Solomon had. I want to read a few things about Solomon. You can go there if you want. I think it's 1 Kings 4 and 22. And Solomon's provisions for one day was 30 measures of fine flour, 80 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen, 20 oxen out of the pastures, and 100 sheep besides harts and roebucks and fallow deer and fatted fowl. So, again, of course, I got a quiz in mind. I say, okay, what does this feed? So I'm going to read from my notes. 30 measures of fine flour would make 14,850 loaves of bread if they were 1 pound each. 14,000 loaves of bread per day to feed his court. 60 measures of meal, that is 220,000 servings of porridge. That's plus the 10 fat ox, the 20 oxen, the deer, the gazelle, all the other. He said that he, in a day, fed 50 to 70,000 people in his court. Now, I want you guys to wrap your mind around that. Those of you that are young and sitting there thinking, I want to do it all because I don't believe that this is the best way to do it. Solomon did it all. He did. And it was vanity. It was a breath. It was fleeting. Don't let the devil kid you. Don't let him make you sit there and think in your seat. No, there's a few more things I want to do. I want to do. Let's go read in Ecclesiastes 1 now. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Israel. Vanities of vanities, said the preachers, vanities of vanities, all is vanity, or all is a vapor, all is a breath, or all is like a mist. What profit a man for all his labor for which he taketh under the sun? One generation passes and another cometh, and the earth abideth forever. But the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to the place where it arose. The wind goeth towards the south, and turneth about and to the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. And to the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. It didn't matter how much wisdom he had. His eye was never satisfied. Let me tell you, if you live for the devil, your eye will never be satisfied. Your eyes will never, ever be satisfied with what you're seeing. Whether it's wickedness, it's going to lead to harder, worse things. Things that's going to bound you where you can't get out. The things that have been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under heaven. Have you ever thought about that or contemplated that? There's nothing new. And I thought, well, how can that be? And then my mind got to whirling. We would say a Tesla's new. That's something new. Is it really? What was the Tesla made out of? You tell me. Think Elon Musk could have made the Tesla without some things on this earth that the Lord first put here? There's nothing new. Everything comes from something the Lord made. Whether it's a mineral, whether it's a chemical, how they react to it, there is nothing new. God knew. God knew what they would make. God knew what the path was. And if God knows these things, how can we not trust Him with our life and know that He has the best in mind for us? Now, verse 12, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. This sore, or my Bible says, parentheses, difficult travail hath God given to the sons of man to be busy or exercised there within. Number 16, verse 16. I commune with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to a great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all that have been before me, and in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this is vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. You know, another thing I got to thinking about. Solomon had more wives, concubines, than any person probably ever lived. It was his downfall. This was stripped him. That's what took his soul. Because they were very influential in his life. And he started looking towards the idols. These things that we think as a young person that's going to bring us happiness, those things do not bring us happiness. Your life is a vapor. I'm standing up here and I remember sitting where you are. Brother Tony's exhortation was very serious. It is true. It doesn't get easier to serve the Lord and give your will to Him. You know what's easier is when you do it when you're young and you're not so stubborn and you're not so full of your pride and ambition and your heart is tender. That's where the Lord can work. Let's read Ecclesiastes 12, 13. This is the very end of this book. And he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. If you are sitting here tonight and you think that you're ever going to have the taste of the wisdom that Solomon have, you never will. That was a special blessing from God. And with that blessing and wisdom also came the blessing and wealth. He had wisdom and wealth, the two things that everybody, I think, on this planet would like. And he would have given it up gladly because it didn't bring him peace. It didn't bring him happiness. So if the wisest, most richest man probably is ever going to walk on the earth, can we not be like a sheep and say, you know, I'm going to learn from him. I'm going to understand that I don't have to experience all this. I'm going to take his word for it. Because I know I'm never going to be worth $2.7 trillion, and neither are you. It's just not going to happen. We're not going to have the wisdom that he did either. I want to read the poem. So where did that saying come from? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. The person who wrote this was C.T. Stubbs. By the time he was 16, he had started to excel in the game of cricket. And at 19, he was captain of the team at his college. After school, he went to Cambridge, where he was also recognized as an outstanding cricketer. He came to a turning point in his life in 1884 when his brother George was taken seriously ill. And C.T. was confronted by the crushed question, what is all the flame and flattery worth when a man comes to face eternity? And because of the experience, he wrote this poem. And I would like to read this poem for you. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon its fleeting hours will be done. Then in that day, my Lord I will meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice, gently pleading for a better choice. Bidding me my selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will cleave. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hope, and fears. Each with its days I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow thy word to keep, faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love and fervor burn, and from this world let me now turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when that last call I hear, I know I'll say, 'tis worth it all. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I'd like to read Psalms 90 and 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I think that's very important for us. You think you have a lot of days to number when you're young. It goes by so fast. I was singing of the song, and I'd like to sing it here in a minute. The only real peace that I found, dear Lord, is in you. Can we echo that in our heart? Do we really know that that is true? The only real peace that I found, dear Lord, is in you. The higher I store in my dreams, the harder I fall. Sometimes I wonder if dreams are worth dreaming at all. But my disappointments can't keep me blinded and blue, not when I'm reminded of the sweet peace I have, Lord, in you. I want to leave one more quote from the guy who wrote that poem. And it was, let us not glide through this world and then slip quietly into heaven without having blown the trumpet so long and loud for our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Let us see to it that the devil will hold a Thanksgiving service in hell when he gets the news of our departure from the field. Now that's a life that the devil would be just thrilled to see us go, because we're winning too many souls for Christ. That's what I want out of my life. I don't want to get to the end of the way and end like Solomon. I don't think any of you do either. If we could sing that song, the only real peace that I've found, dear Lord, is in you, I'd appreciate it.